This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani. It's 7:35, Monday, the 15th of August. Getting down to business with the CEO of Apple, Tim Cook. Yesterday, he gave an interview to the Washington Post, and in it, he addressed some of the criticism that's been levied against Apple for avoiding to pay U.S. taxes. Now, these critics say that it's unpatriotic for companies to practice inversion or shelter income. So Tim Cook said, look, Apple is not going to bring back its money from abroad unless there was a fair rate.
That's right. They have about hundreds of billions sitting overseas, along with a lot of the other tech companies who stash a lot of money overseas. The figure is about US $2 trillion. And the moment they bring it back to US shores, they will be taxed with about 40% rate. So a lot of that would be lost. And therefore, that's a disincentive to bring it back. So what can be done to bring it back? I think we're covering a story later about how Indonesia is giving a tax amnesty. But, you know, amnesty is not something that is such a no-no in the US,
yeah,
right? It's
yeah.
just a money fizzled
into
thin air.
Why give it all away, right?
I don't know, because he says that, you know, a fair tax rate, what is fair to him may not be fair to others. And what the government may deem fair is not, you know, you don't leave things like
it's
this
subjective,
open-ended.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he says, and I'm quoting Tim Cook's interview in the Washington Post, when we bring it back, we will be paying about 35% federal tax and then a weighted average across the states we're in, which is about 5%. So think of it as 40%. We've said at 40%, we're not going to bring that money back until there's a fair rate. There's no debate about it. So at 40%, Tim Cook says that's high and unfair for Apple. What do you guys think? Is that, 40% seems a bit high to me.
40% is high, and that corresponds to the highest tax bracket, income tax bracket in the United States. And companies, neither do people nor companies like paying taxes, right? So how do you bring it back? And the thing is that what will they do with the money if they brought it back? That's the main question. Mm. A lot of companies are not actually investing right now. Apple, for example, has these hundreds of billions of cash. They are paying them out as dividends. They are doing share buybacks, and they're not investing more into machineries. I guess you could say that they are more productive now, and they're in this innovative technological world where you don't need heavy investments. You just need a lot of brains behind that kind of machine, that power, right? Mm. But if you brought it back, how do you make sure that companies also invest?
You know, that non-investment, right? That's why Apple right now is being accused of not patriotic. But in Tim Cook's own words, he says that it's not a matter of being patriotic or not. It doesn't go that the more you pay, the more patriotic you are. He's right, because at the end of the day, corporates make for-profit decisions. If it's not profitable to invest in that place or this area, then, you know, why should they?
Don't you always say, Jules, that money has no nationality?
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? So
yeah.
Patriotism doesn't come into play for this. Where I'm seeing Apple is deriving a lot of its revenue from overseas operations anyway, right? So given that inversion or shelter income is not technically illegal, there's no technicality that says Tim Cook is doing is wrong. So to play the patriotism card, I think, is a bit rich for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's right. But you wouldn't be able to stop them from doing it, right? Because America, they have views from all sides. And even the presidential candidates like Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton, by the way, is leading at the moment. Donald Trump says that he will eliminate a lot of taxes for corporations, which is the want of Republican policy, right? They're always about reducing taxes in small government. But Hillary Clinton also said something to the same extent. And get this, Hillary Clinton was funded by people like Warren Buffett and Tim Cook themselves.
He supports Hillary Clinton. Well, you mentioned earlier, Jules, that Indonesia is thinking about setting up the tax amnesty. There's another proposal that the Indonesian government has proposed. They're thinking about setting up tax haven jurisdictions. So they want some, so they're trying to get all the money back to Indonesia, and they said last week that repatriated funds can be invested in assets like gold and property, and now perhaps they might even set up a little Panama Islands within Indonesia.
I don't understand how this works, right? Because you want to give tax amnesty so that the money returns back to your country so that you can use it, but the way you do it is to set up tax havens whose original purpose is to protect the money of the rich from taxes and from it,
right.
Shield it from the eyes of the government. And to add insult to injury, they are setting up Bintan and Rempang, which is kind of very near, close to Singapore, almost extension of Singapore territory, right? And I don't know if this is the right signal to these very rich people from Indonesia.
They want to get the rich people's money from Singapore to come back home. So just, you know, it's like opening two mama shops side
Gateway.
By side,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I have this map by the Straits Times. It talks about Batam and Bintan. It really is meant to gear up for the Singaporeans. Now, I don't know whether this is going to be profitable for Indonesia, because Malaysia, for instance, we have a tax haven or offshore under Labuan. And, you know, that may not seem to get that kind of reaction from the people, from the financial institutions, even after being instituted for over 20, 30 years. I don't know whether this is going to be another one of those, you know, white duds that Indonesia can't capitalize on.
Well, I think there's a series of measures, right? So under the amnesty plan, the tax amnesty plan, then they've got this tax haven plan, then they're allowing now money that you bring back, you can buy gold, you can buy property. So they're trying to ensure that the money that they bring back flows to the real economy. This might be a huge boost to the property sector in Indonesia that might help fund some of the big projects that Indonesia wants to do, the huge infrastructure projects, might even help the government with their deficit.
You must give it to them, credit where credit is due, that Indonesia is trying to do a lot to restructure the economy. I mean, we talk about the big bang policies all the time, tax amnesty, infrastructural decisions and so on. And they have, these companies are hiding over 40 billion US dollars overseas. It's not as big as the 2 trillion that foreign US companies have hidden in foreign countries. 2 trillion compared to 42 billion is a big difference, but it matters for a country like Indonesia, and they're trying to do something about it.
And that's why, you know, corporations in Indonesia are applauding this move, because the Indonesian Employers Association, or APindo, he says that the lower corporate tax rate would help ease companies' cost burden, help the economic situation.
Well, you know, of course they would.
They're being forgiven.
But if you benchmark against the corporate tax in Labuan, for instance, they charge as low as 3% corporate tax. You know, we talk about 40% in US. 3% is what they charge in Labuan, and yet they still can't get corporations to operate out of Labuan. So it's not necessarily about the corporate tax rate at all. I think essentially, if the infrastructure is there, then companies would come, even if there is a high corporate tax rate, just like Singapore, in relation to all these tax havens. I think they will still lose out to Singapore in the near term.
I think there are still a lot of skepticism about it. Some people think this is engineered for the rich. And then some other people think that the banking sector would be strained. And if all this money go back to Indonesia all at once, it would strengthen the rupiah, which is not very good for the economy.
For exports. Yeah. Speaking about currency, Mexican peso traders, they are watching the US presidential election polls for trade cues. Now, if you have been watching the recent popularity polls, it shows that Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton is ahead of Republican candidate Donald Trump. And because of that, the peso reached its highest level, strongest level against the US dollar since the end of June. So I guess concerns that Donald Trump will become President Trump and build a wall weakened the peso. And now since Hillary is leading, I guess there's a bit more strength within the currency.
That's right. So he had said many things against the Mexican, including making them rebuild a wall and catching all those illegal Mexican immigrants that are in the United States. But now that he's behind Hillary, the Mexicans are very happy about it, to the extent of driving up the Mexican peso as well as the stock market.
We should also look at the Chinese yuan to see.
Oh yeah, why not?
Because, you know, Donald Trump is going to, I'm sure, relook a certain geopolitical dynamics with the US and China for sure.
I don't know whether the, you know, because during the nomination of the Republican, Trump, I think, was leading, right, at that moment in time. But he has made a lot of these statements going forward.
Well, he said a lot of stupid things over the past few weeks, and that has just really, you know,
it has gone from
drop.
Sedition to now inciting hate.
I don't think that's sedition. And
yeah, I just don't know.
7:45 right now. We'll be back with a look on local business news after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.